Hey guys, it's me, Katie Rubin. How's it going? So listen, if you're looking to do some healing and some laughing and to learn some stuff about consciousness and energy work and how they all work together to heal trauma, Saturday, January 29th, 2022, 7 p.m. East Coast time, 4 p.m. Pacific. That's Saturday, January 29th. 7 p.m. East Coast time. You can see Everything All at Once, which is a live show I'll be doing online for an hour and a half. I will be being funny, I will be teaching spiritual concepts, and I will be doing actual energy work for you in the audience, live on Zoom on the internet. Saturday, January 29th, 7 p.m. East Coast time. And to get your ticket for that, you're going to go to omapittsburgh.org. That's O-M-A, Pittsburgh with an H at the end. .org. Scroll down the page and you'll see my show, which is called Everything All at Once. I hope I'll see you there.
Welcome to that spiritual, actual, factual answers to questions you're asking. You find them inside you, beside you, reciting the records of cash. We laughing, we drafting the passion through bury. It's time for that comedy, dramedy, all of the fanciest, catchiest acronyms. Listen, we traveling. Consciousness always unraveling. The reading you're having is mapping you back to your natural habitat. Abracadabra, it's magic, let's pass it. To top it off, the host are the classiest. Now, what were you asking for? All of the answers, what? All the answers.
Okay, so we were talking off camera about maybe if you'll indulge me in another improv game. People liked it.
I'm glad. I'll be honest, I can't even listen. Have you listened?
Why?
Though, Katie? Have you?
I loved it. I loved every minute of it.
Good. I'm glad. I should listen. I won't have an opinion.
But why?
I don't know. It's because it's rubbing up against places that I
like improv puritanical stuff.
Yeah, that I hold like dear sacred. In a certain way that I'm keeping separate. So it's an internal thing. It's not like it is judgment, but it's like I am aware that it's judgment. Like that it's that I'm being like, well, maybe it's not good enough. Whatever, you know.
Oh, okay, I see.
Just sharing my process.
No, you can share
my discomfort.
Process.
Yeah.
Okay.
I have discomfort with it.
But I'm trying to understand if it's about the what's the word I want? When you're a purist, about
right.
The form?
Oh, no.
Or is it about you don't think it's good?
Yeah, I'm afraid it's kind of like it's dorky and that I will look silly.
And
which is so against everything I coach everybody on whenever I'm talking about anything to like embrace your dork and embrace looking stupid and all those things are super important to me. When I teach people, so I'm just talking out loud right now, sharing with everybody that I'm uncomfortable.
We love you. It's all good. I think it was actually people liked it a lot. I think you're good.
A lot
good
of people
at
liked it.
And people liked it. And they liked it because it was good, not because they're nice and dumb.
Right. People reached out to you and were like, oh, I really liked that.
Yeah. Like a lot, like a weird high number of a lot. It was like a fun form for us and it was new and people, they were like, a new thing. I'm going to say words about it.
Yeah, cool.
So there's that. Anyway, I wish there
we
was something.
We have to keep coming up with different audio games.
Yeah.
Or do we repeat? Yeah, we'll come up with something.
I think
I have a story that I want to share that's fun at some point.
That sounds good.
Yeah.
I just want to say, wait, I went away. Never mind. Okay, so anyway, we were talking about maybe doing an improv game and then opening the records of maybe like a famous person who isn't here or an historical figure of some kind. And I had suggested Trump and you didn't like that idea. And
I had an immediate revulsion to the idea of even like,
okay, can I propose?
I feel like it would be like smelling
feces
a toilet
like, in your hand.
Yeah. Like yeah. I don't want to be there. It's not a place I want to visit.
I'm the one who has to like go
I
up
know.
Inside his soul. Well, here's my thinking on it. No, I'm not going to force. I'm not going to.
You're going to force feces into my brain.
No, but thought I have is like, if you can get a sense of their spiritual journey, like what is the journey this man is on? What is he learning?
Yeah.
Excuse me. Learning. And like, I don't know. Is there anything we can do in there? To contribute
some tinkering
or even like, just
I'm just gonna pull this little thread right here and
I mean
see
I think
I can
to be
undermine.
Honest with you I think what might be hard for you is I might find compassion for him inside of his records, like more compassion, and I think you don't want to do that.
Right. Maybe
I think you want to just be like, fuck him, he's bad.
Yeah.
And I want to be like, can we find anything, I don't know,
yeah.
out of curiosity even, and out of like, Also, like, I just really know that everybody is on a trip. But it could be that, like, this is his third lifetime or this is his 90th lifetime and he's always a conqueror. And one day he wakes up to, like, it doesn't work and narcissism is icky. But, like, maybe that's next lifetime and we could learn that. You know, we could learn some fascinating shit.
Or
but,
maybe we'll discover that he has six lizards in a human suit.
Yeah.
And then I will finally be proven right.
Do you think so? Do you think he's a reptilian?
I think he's a multi-reptilian. Let's be clear. He's not just six one lizard.
Six lizards. Okay.
He has six lizards in a human suit. That's Where why did it's this so awkward. From? That's why the movement isn't quite correlated because they're like, you know, like kids in a trench coat trying to get into the movies.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're like stacked on each other.
That's a real thing that happens.
Like one lizard is the leg, another lizard is the other leg.
That's so funny.
Arm, and then like trunk and then head.
That's really funny. I don't think you're crazy or fully off base there. Oh man, I've been watching some, speaking of lizards in a body, I've been watching more Initiation, the Matthias DiStefano show on Gaia, and Rami and I actually watched one, and it's this show. So this guy Matthias DiStefano, if you listen to this podcast, you probably know who he is, but or maybe not. He's a guy who's got a show on Gaia, young guy, super cute, side note unrelated to anything, happens to be gay, just has like a lovely personality, very charming, sweet human mammal who, when he was, I want to say 11, like remembered the entire history of his soul. Like he just went, oh, I see all my lifetimes. Oh, wow. I see them in great detail. Oh, I see the entire history of humanity and Earth. Oh, there's Atlantis. Like he just remembered everything from all time forever. And so he started to just talk about it quite openly and tell people. And he told his mom and he had a loving, supportive mom. And long story long, he's this 31 or young guy who has this whole show on Gaia because he's awesome and remembers shit. So anyway, each episode is like dense with information. There's an Akashic Records episode and there's the episode Rami and I watched was about the reptilians and the giants.
Oh.
And when they were on Earth, I know. And then like who they really were and what they were really about. And there was some really interesting shit in there that goes really counter to what a lot of current day spiritual woo-woo people think about reptilians. Because there's a lot of different ideas about it, of course, because everybody's getting their information from the internet. So anyway, if you can buy in that this guy just like knows stuff, which of course a lot of people say they know stuff, but he just has this sweet kind of like unassuming, yeah, and then this and then that. And there's no ego in it. So it's like so easy to believe him.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Anyway, he's got, I just want to watch them all. That's, yeah. So reptilians, what I was going to say about it was he presented the idea that reptilians had snake wisdom. They were like human form, bald head, but scaly skin. So they got called the reptilians. They lived underground and far away from people, and they had wisdom. And people would come to humans, would go to them and be like, what do we do about our crops or whatever, and get wisdom. And then over time, that wisdom from the reptilians got integrated into the cultures through the image of the snake. So if you look at like the Egyptians have snakes all in their thing, and the Mayans have snakes all in their imagery, and all the people who the Native Americans who like carved things into walls, there's snakes everywhere. And it's according to Matthias, it's because the reptilians were kind of snaky, and then snakes became godlike figures to humans because they had all this insight and wisdom. But really, they were just higher consciousness beings. They weren't gods, really.
That makes me think of even in the Christian mythology, which is like specifically the snake, serpent, and the tree of knowledge. Like that's yes. Related. They're connected directly
100%. And he mentioned that too. That's totally true. And he actually started with that. And he started by saying, we have to be careful because right now what we do, the only association white folks or like the hegemonic groups in America have to snakes is bad.
Right.
Garden of Eden took the innocence away, talked her into eating the apple, serpent,
right?
Bad guy. But he was like, actually, no. And then I don't know what he would say about current day reptilians. Like, is the idea that they were like helping us out and then they became shady or what?
Right.
You know, because now most woo-woo people are like reptilians are here and they're bad.
Right. They are the Bilderberg group or they are They're in charge of like the Bushes are actually reptilians,
right,
and stuff,
right,
like that. Yeah.
Right. And even if like big figures in the world are not reptilians or whatever, the
it's possible that they, you know, they could be a real thing that it may be a thing that people like to over attribute to things. Like, you know, it's like if one guy sees an alien, then aliens made all crop circles. You know what I mean? We make these leaps.
Yeah.
That I think then devalue the possibility even more because people do crazy shit with it. People go like, well, you know, Trump is clearly a lizard man. And then you're like, okay, everybody's crazy.
Some asshole's going to make a joke like he sticks lizards in a human suit. What a fucking asshole.
It's fine when you
look
do
that
it.
Guy.
No, but you know what I mean? Like how we make these, like, it's like, what if there's reptilians and they're around, but they're not like running the corporations and fucking babies right. in a basement. And like the famous people that you like are actually in the Illuminati. Maybe there is Illuminati, but maybe like Reese Witherspoon has nothing to do with it. You know what I mean? Hi, I see you, small dog. Come on up. Okay. Squeezle has a bone to present you.
You got a bone to pick?
Look at that. She brought the, oh, there it goes.
No, I drop it.
So anyway, that was cool. And reptilians, how did we get on reptilians? Oh, because we were going to open lizards. Trump's.
I just like, honestly, I just like that phrase. I think it phonetically.
Which
is
one?
Six lizards in a human suit.
Oh, got it's
it. It's like, it's more like, it's like the, you know, the science of humor where you're like, yeah. Hard K's are funny and soft yeah. J's are not or whatever. Like, I feel like that one has a good comedic rhythm. And so
did
I just
make
keep
it
repeating
up?
It. Yeah.
Oh, I like it. Okay, good.
I
didn't
just
know
threw
if
it
were
out there one day when we were fucking around with, you know, goddamn Trump. I don't know. Maybe he's not human. Yeah, he's like six lizards in a human suit.
Yeah.
And then I was like, ooh, I really like the sound of that. And so now I won't let it go.
I understood.
Dog with a bone.
As is your wont. W-O-N-T.
Good. Yes. Not my desire, but my tendency.
Indeed. Your wont.
Wont. As is your wont.
As is your wont. I could use a good fantasy movie right now. I could use a good, like, first time you ever see Game of Thrones kind of experience. Or first time you ever see The Hobbit. Or, like, right. You know.
Have you been watching The Witcher? People like
no,
that
No, should
one.
I?
Yeah, you think you'll enjoy it. It's fun. It's a little goofy.
Okay.
But people really like season two, actually, apparently. Season one's a little too goofy, but...
Like goofy how? What do we mean by goofy?
Well, it's like serious and like taking himself real seriously, like because he's like the Witcher. He's like out there, but so seriously that you can see that there's a little bit of like wink, tongue-in-cheekness to
okay.
it.
Okay, okay.
And then there's like a bard character who's super just like frosty and just like making fun all the time. And he's kind of loopy. So like, you know, it treads the line of self-awareness of what it is.
Okay.
It's like,
okay.
Yeah, we're a silly fantasy. You guys, come on, chill out. It's stupid. Also, it's serious and fun and interesting and huh. badass.
I can't quite get, he
Des
likes it. Desmond
Des
likes it.
Des is a fan.
I can't get the sense of the tone from what you're saying. It sounds like it's like eight tones.
Am I wrong on the tone, Des?
No. Well, and I think part of it too is that since it was a huge video game, I think so there's the book is probably pretty serious, but video games are inherently goofy. And I think the show has done a good job of kind of meshing those two things together.
Hmm.
And the if nothing else, goofy might not be the right word, but it the first season is really hard to track. You don't really realize what you're watching until about halfway through the season. You're like, oh.
Oh, because there's like 10 different storylines that are being introduced and timelines.
Yeah. And they never say like, now we're back here and now we're up here and now we're over here. They just jump to another scene and you don't know if it's
oh, I see.
On the other side of the continent or 100 years previous.
Okay. Yeah, they do some of that in Outlander, too, where you're like, we're in Scotland. Now it's America. But it's like we're in the past. Now we're in the future. Now we're and they don't help you. And then like halfway through the episode, you go, OK, that was the wait, let's rewind. Did I miss something? Like you have to kind of work at it a little.
Now let's look at some full frontal nudity. Just
indeed.
To bring our brains down.
Delicious. Speaking of full frontal nudity, did you know that?
Did you get laid?
Oh, God, no. I've barely seen any humans. That's why I'm so extra weird lately. No, not at all. But are you familiar with One Direction, the band?
I'm aware of their existence and Harry Styles.
Harry Styles. Okay, so Kat Zidane of this podcast fame is a little obsessed with Harry Styles. She showed us, remember she showed us her shirt she was wearing and it had tattoos on it and it was the tattoos that Harry Styles has on his body. And she was wearing a shirt of that. I love it. So she's gotten me down a Harry Styles rabbit hole. She was for a while just being like, look at this and look at that. And I'd be like, whatever. And then I was like, oh God, more, must have more. He's very appealing. Anyway, the story I wanted to tell you, and then I want to talk about Cheer, and then we have to play an improv game, is that he, when he was like very young, because, you know, One Direction was, they were like famous boy band boys, young, there was a rumor that he had a small penis. So he leaked his own dick pic, two of them. He's in the shower, and there's flaccid, and then there's it's in his hand. And it accidentally got out, and he's just there smiling like, hey, with his dick in his hand.
Was he over 18 at the time?
I think not. I know. And that's the point of my story, is that everybody was a little like, yeah, oh.
I can't have this on my computer. Shit.
Yeah, and I also can't feel the way I'm feeling because he was hot. He was hot too young. He was like real hot. You know, and people were sexualizing him already. And then he was like, watch this. And then they did. And everybody was conflicted because he put it out, but he was young.
Yeah.
So that's weird. But I don't know why that came to my mind. But it does bring me to, I watched the entire second season of Cheer.
Okay.
Docuseries on Netflix about actual competitive national level cheerleaders. I don't suppose you know about this show.
I saw
Desmond it. Desmond knows.
Featured on my Netflix selections, but that's it. That's all I got.
I highly recommend it. Like, not just like athleticism, incredible. Beauty and artistry, amazing. Teenage drama at its best, yup. Adult drama that sneaks up on you like, what? Yup. And it's all just like real shit happening in real time. It's so good. And season two, oh my God, crazy shit happens. And I really want to talk about it, but now I feel like you should watch it. I don't want to spoil it for you.
Maybe I'll try and watch some, see if I can stand it, and maybe I'll love it.
Oh, it's so, so good. It's so, so good. You've seen it, Des? You gave the thumbs up, so.
I actually haven't, but I have found myself clicking through on a Saturday afternoon and staying on cheerleading for way too long, because when it's at its best, it's...
Yeah.
It's phenomenal.
Like,
how you,
like Cirque du Soleil shit.
Exactly. Yeah. It's like how you watch the Olympics. You're not like... You're like amazed by the Olympics because they're so incredible. When the gymnasts, the shit they can do, these cheerleaders are like Olympiad level gymnasts in a way that you're just is mind blowing. And then they're having like normal lives and trying to eat well and like they're just being people. So it's really cool to watch athletes at that level like struggle with being 17 at the same time. But they're like a special kind of 17-year-old because they have this crazy discipline. Oh, it's just. Oh my God, human drama at its best. And I'll just say this, because I don't want to ruin season two for you if you decide to watch it. And spoiler alert-ish for anybody listening. I won't really spoil it, but I'll just tease it. There's a character where there's like a, wait, what? Like illegal, crazy shit along the lines of the Harry Styles topic that we were just on, which is what, yes, rub those hands together because it is wow. In the where you're like, this, they wrote this, but they didn't because there's footage of reality and it's nuts. And so I highly recommend it.
Great.
Oh my God. And let me then just, COVID hits still have to be famous Jesus. Gymnasts.
And they're still following the story.
Yeah. It's a great show.
Call out to Desmond right now, just before I forget. I forgot to start my recorder until about 4 minutes ago. So you're gonna have weird audio. Mixing to do. Sorry.
How did Cassidy die? Well, Desmond stabbed him with a pen.
I will just slowly erase him from audio presence.
Wow.
Never happened.
Oh my God.
Fade him out.
That's
and no one ever
scary.
Hears from him again.
Oh no. A three who doesn't exist.
God.
In the public eye.
Oh, that's everything to me. Killing me, Smalls.
Well, I'm even happier now that I spent my time getting my shit tight because part of the problem was me getting a good feed from here to there.
Well,
so, thanks to my rejiggering, I got backups. So we're good.
Nice.
Well,
can we rename the podcast Rejiggering? Is that
that's
timely?
That should actually just be my network.
That's
cloud.
Yeah.
The Rejiggered cloud.
There you go. Yeah. So why don't we agree on whose records are we going to get in after we play this improv game we're going to play?
I wanted to put on the menu.
Yes.
Another topic, unfortunately.
Oh, ghost story.
Right. So I have a personal,
I'm ready.
Small but kind of hilarious ghost story. I shouldn't have called it hilarious because now it won't be funny, but I have a personal ghost story. And I actually would love to talk about the concept of like corporeal ghosts, like what does that mean in the framework of what we talk about and stuff. I'm interested in that. So, and it may be that we, I think we'll, I think we can come up with the records thing when we get to it. If we do
great
talk. Yeah. That just, yeah, that's it. Wanted to put that on the menu. So I don't know about
Let's start there. I don't care. Let's start there. You've got, it's on deck.
I'll start there. All right. Well, so Denise and I went away this weekend. I haven't gone away to do a thing.
Oh, this is like a current day ghost story?
Yeah, this just happened.
No, I'm thrilled. Okay, yes. Go.
So we went on an away date.
Cute.
And we went up to Murphy's, California. And the reason we went is because we were just like, we just want to go somewhere. We don't know where to go. Let's go somewhere. And then Denise was like, can we go to and stay in this supposedly haunted hotel? It's like the oldest hotel in continuously running hotel in California, Murphy's.
Yep.
Which is former mining town, now total whining town. Like,
oh, it's whining.
Like,
okay.
25 tasting rooms in this 2-block town. It's ridiculous.
Wow.
I'm exaggerating, but only slightly.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's this funky little spot. And then we watched the episode of, do you know about Huell Hauser? Do you know who Huell Hauser is?
No.
I didn't before this, before Denise was telling me. And that was, he's like a PBS guy. He has passed away, but he, until very recently, was for 20 years or more, he's been running all different kinds of shows on PBS, like Barry a Backroads type shows, where he's like California's most interesting towns or whatever. And he's just this goofball, super excited about everything and anything. He's terrible at his, quote, terrible at his job, in the sense that he's like got his back to the camera most of the time. He's like leaning too close to the interviewers, got his hands all over him. But he's just so excited about everything. Anyway, he went to Murphy's and we watched the whole Murphy's episode, and it was hilarious because then we went and like went to all the places that he was laughing about and had good times. Anyway, all that is to say, if you read articles about like the Murphy's Hotel, you can like read about the different, you know, well, you might hear a child laughing in the background or,
interesting,
or moaning or creaking this or this happened. So
can I just tell you how I know of Murphy's real quick?
Yeah.
Murphy's, I only have one reference point for Murphy's, which is for 4 seconds, I quote unquote dated an actor from in Sacramento. We can't really fairly call it dating, but you get the idea. And who had or ran or was a big part of the single theater in Murphy's.
Yep, the Murphy's Creek Theater.
Okay,
yeah.
That's it. I've only ever heard of Murphy's through this actor 150 years ago, who was like a lovely human being.
Yeah.
And I couldn't get a sense, was it a community theater or a professional theater both?
We actually, Denise and I got into a bit of a discussion. She was like, why are you so down on the idea of that this might be a good theater? Because I was just like, oh, they're opening Doubt tonight. That's a great play. Oh, God, I don't want to watch that. You know, like,
yeah,
like, oh, it's going to be terrible. And then I was like in deep judgment without really knowing anything about the, you know, maybe they have a couple of great actors that happen to just live here. You know, I don't know. But I was really being an elitist prick. And she was like, what? I don't understand. Why do you know this theater? Is it bad by default? And I was like, I think I assume that often.
Because it's community theater.
Yeah, just because it's, yeah. There's, you know, no equity actors. Well, but equity actors suck too.
Uh-huh.
A lot of them. But anyway, also like we walked over to the theater and it was like, no, there was no sign of any like, hey, it's COVID. Just so you know, we are doing theater, but we're making some nods to
adjustments.
It. So yeah. We're like, I don't feel comfortable trying to go see a play.
Here. Yeah. Yeah.
Like, and then, yeah. Anyway, so.
So you stayed in the hotel.
We stayed in the hotel.
Was it the haunted hotel?
Yeah, we were in.
Uh-huh.
So they have like the historic wing, which is the part like that's right in the main building, right above the bar. It's there. They warn you. It's like, it's really loud. If you want to stay here, it's going to be loud. And there's a bar downstairs. Also a completely full, active, no
weird
mask bar.
Weird.
Yeah. It's, you know, it's cowboy country. It's a little different,
right,
energy about what. And then like this restaurant had outdoor seating and they wore masks. This restaurant, no concept.
Right.
Like it was very spotty. So we were kind of ducking and diving throughout our weekend.
Okay.
Anyway, so we went to dinner, got some very mediocre dinner. Oh, God, it was mediocre at the one place that we felt comfortable eating.
Oh, no.
And it was just so mediocre and rather expensive. But then we, you know, we'd done our time. It was cold outside. So we went back and we're like in kind of early to the hotel. Mm-hmm. And Denise has been like the one who wants to be at this haunted hotel, but is also really scared. Like, I don't want to hear anything. I don't know. So I kept doing things like, did you hear that? You know, just throughout.
That's adorable.
So it was very distracting. This sex warning. This is going to include some references to sexuality.
Oh, God. Thank God. The closest I've gotten is cuddling Squeezle. Way too tight.
Way too tight. So we like... We were like trying to fool around, but we were like, there was like people right outside our window below, like talking all bro-y. And we were like, I'm too distracted. This is too much. But meanwhile, Denise had set out some toys, as it were.
Okay.
On the bedside table. And one in particular, I'm going to describe it because it's important.
This has become a delightful story because we not only I didn't know we were entering present day ghosts, sex and sex toys.
Yeah.
That's a next level sex story. That's not just like, so we had some sex and then.
Yeah.
You are bringing it today, Cassidy Brown. Okay.
I'm so ready. One of them is this, this little tight. Thanks. Yeah. I'm glad.
Let's be fair. There was a period of time where I kept being like, I'm getting laid all the time. And you were like, fuck you.
Fuck you.
I never am. It was early COVID. We've flipped.
Okay. Yeah. This year has been the flip around.
Exactly.
Anyway, it's this like 4-inch long vibrator.
Mm-hmm.
And it's flat, sort of, right?
Okay.
And I describe that because of, you'll know, and it's got that whatever rubberized surface.
That cool new space-aged rubber stuff.
Which means if it's not lubricated, it's actually not slidey at all.
Oh.
So it's because it's rubberized, right? It's not slick by nature. So point being, it's sitting on the bedside table, fully on the table, not teetering, but like... Set 100% of it is on the table.
All right.
It's flat, so it's not tippy.
Okay.
This is a lot to set up here.
This is relevant.
This is totally relevant.
I believe you.
So we try fooling around. I can't. I'm just too distracted. We'll wait till later, until the bar closes down. And so we're watching an episode of Criminal Minds, which is our trashy TV that we like to watch together.
Great. Trying to think of a time if I've ever been too distracted to have sex. I actually can't think of a time.
It was weird. It was not weird. It was just distracting.
Like, were they so loud that you couldn't get lost
like,
in
yeah,
it?
Yeah, I just kept being like, hey, yeah, I couldn't get lost. I'm in my head a lot, even in sex.
I feel you. It takes me
a lot to kind of settle into my body sometimes.
I got you. Okay.
And also, like, we knew. It's not like we're not going to. We're just going to wait a little while.
Yeah, I hear you. I don't have a judgment. I'm more just like... trying to think as you're talking, going like, when was the last time I like had to stop because noises?
Yeah.
I'd probably be more like, now we can be louder.
That's true. I could have taken that angle.
Okay. Anyway,
so we're lying there watching on my iPad an episode of Criminal Minds.
Yeah.
Which is a strange pre-sex thing to watch because it's about serial murderers. But
great.
Whatever, we watch
whatever.
It.
Whatever works.
It's our fun trash.
Sure.
And and we are totally still in this moment. And there's no, it's not like it's so loud that there's like shaking and the building's jumping because there's a nightclub downstairs or anything. No, it's just, there's a low murmur outside and we're completely still. And then we hear, I don't know if you could hear that, but it was just like a clack, something just clack.
All right.
And we both go like, what the fuck was that? It was right next to us, right next to the bed. And Denise looks over and the vibrator is not there. And it is all the way on the ground, completely on the ground, slightly under the bed. Like a cat went swat. And I, of course, try and play it off. Oh, it must have been teetering. On the end, it's been waiting to fall. And there was just the slightest tremor. Ha, 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 ha. And she's like, sweetie, you saw it. It was sitting fully. I'm going to lay them out, how they were laid out. Boom, 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 boom. This one could have fallen, but it didn't. This
How
is the
many
one that
freaking
fell.
Dildos did you guys have?
There were three
have?
Toys. There were three toys.
What were the other two toys?
I'm not going to tell you.
You're not going to tell?
One was a little more for me and my unit. And okay. another one was more insertable, as it were. The small one is more stimulator.
Okay. You can't...
The one that fell is a stimulator.
All right. So there was a stimulator, a dildo, and a cock ring.
Sort of, yeah. But like a vibrator cock ring.
Okay, gotcha.
Interesting, like big thing.
Oh.
Yeah. We, yeah. But, I mean, this threw us off our game entirely because now there was a ghost in the room. And we played it off at the time, sort of, like, because I had to talk myself out of it because it was like, oh, yeah, well, it must have just been sitting on the thing. That's fine. And Denise was like, it wasn't, but okay. And the, but the more I played it over in my head, I was like, there's what happened was impossible in the sense, you know, in the 3D realm.
Yeah.
It was impossible in the world we exist in with physics.
Sure.
Yeah. Like, it just was sitting there. There was no movement. There was no tremor. We weren't bouncing up and down. We weren't going it down at the time.
Yeah.
We were literally cuddling.
How many inches
still
away from the edge would you say it was?
I don't know. But at least an inch. It was okay. Fully on the table. Like,
yeah.
And we were nowhere near it either. We were, like, on my side of the bed, and this was on the other side of the bed.
Huh.
The bedside table. So, yeah, that's... That
and
happened.
It wasn't leaning on anything.
That's exactly, you're doing exactly what I did. I was
well,
like,
yeah.
It was like resting on something maybe. Or it
but
was
it
like
wasn't?
Tipped. No, I remember seeing it, you know, how she described it, which was like, just, you know, like you put a thing on a bedside table, just flat. And it's flat in its shape. It's like, I don't know how else to put it. It's like, you know.
Like a rectangle?
A quarter inch at most high. Yeah, like a little rectangle.
Yeah, yeah. I get it.
About 3 inches long and 1/8 of an inch or 1/4 inch
thick.
Deep. Thick.
Okay.
Girthy.
What's your theory? What's the working theory you guys left with?
So then Denise did a sway test the next day during her meditation to be like, ask it a few questions, which is her method of getting answers. And she was like,
I also need to tell people about the cancer moon that's happening. I'm saying it so I don't forget. I'm listening.
Oh, God damn it. What is her name? It's the Eleanor. Eleanor.
Who's Eleanor?
Eleanor, the housekeeper.
Okay.
Who is often in the rooms, has been seen in the rooms.
Oh, okay.
And so Denise was like, is it Eleanor? Was that Eleanor? Was she there with us? Yep. Did she knock the thing off? Yep.
Yeah.
Did she watch us have sex? Yep.
Huh.
A strong yes. Like, that was the big yes. I was like, yes, absolutely she did. So
that's interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, that's that. What? I mean, that's the end of the story. Like, we heard nothing else for the rest of the time except when they vacuumed at 2 a.m. This place did not have good, like, customer practice.
Apparently.
They literally vacuumed right under our room both nights at 2 a.m.
Oh, no, 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 no. So much no. I would have been mad.
What is this? What's going on?
No.
They're like, we told you it was loud. No, but
no,
that's preventable.
No. Yeah.
The bar is loud.
Yeah, what? No.
It's weird.
So interesting. Yeah, like I wonder why she would knock that off the table.
Yeah.
Was she chastising you?
Or was it playful?
Right.
Was she like, hey, you guys, get down to it. What are you doing?
Right. Or let me in on it.
Yeah. I mean, apparently she watched us, so.
Right. She may have been in on it.
She may have.
You know, this brings me.
It was a good time. I mean, we had a good time. I'm going to say, we had a good time.
I believe you had three toys at play. Come on. This reminds me of a thing I was talking with a friend, I can't remember who, the other day about, where, did I talk to you about the dreams and the djinn? Jin, D-J-I-N-N, djinn?
I think you did at some point, but remind me what you're talking about.
I want to come back to this story, but it reminds me of, I had a sex dream the other night about someone who it really surprised me that I was having a sex dream about.
It was me, wasn't it?
No.
It was Desmond.
No.
Okay, go on.
And I thought, and I remembered back to healing school and they taught us this concept of when you have a sex dream about someone, one of the things to ask if you're checking in with things and asking things is, was that dream actually the djinn attached to me attracted to the djinn attached to that person? Like, was that dream happening because, like, the entities around me were like, I like that guy's entities? And in this case, it was like a big fat yes for me, the answer on that, because it was just so out of left field and sudden and, like, not just what? That? What? not that the person is unappealing in any way, just that that person doesn't come into my consciousness in that way in any at all. And so, and is like very in a relationship. And I just tend to like, I don't even go there when people are in relationship. I don't even, it's not even, yeah, they're not in my field of vision. So I had this elaborate sex dream, elaborate and detailed, which is brings up another thing. Since a recent EMDR session I had with myself, I am dreaming and I haven't dreamed in decades.
Oh my God.
Yeah, I don't dream. And I'm having... Ever since it's either about this portal I live on in this building, or it's the astrology of where I live now meets the EMDR, which actually reads more like I think it's this location on the earth and the healing I've done since I've been here makes my brain be like, oh, we can do that dream thing now that other people do. And I'm just like amazed every morning I wake up and go, oh my God, I just lived through a whole movie in my head. I haven't had dreams, Cassidy, in so long. So that's pretty interesting and surreal. And then I, with this particular one, it was like, oh, the jinn were really, so then it was helpful because I cleared those jinn and for myself, and now they're not going to make me have dreams I don't need and that are confusing. Part of why I think that's a relevant story is that at the time when I learned this concept, I was so riddled with dark energies and entities and demonic shit and all kinds of things that I could never figure out with men and with sex stuff, like, what the hell was going on? Because there was so many weird choices I was making and the attractions I would have, you know, being attracted to really sick people or being attracted to people you're not attracted to, if that makes any sense. Like there's an attraction in not being attracted to them. And then you're like hot because they're terrible or because you're not hot for the all kinds of weird layers of shit going on. So I was really happy to learn that little piece there because it helped me figure out I was psychic enough that I could tune in and go, wait a minute, this new love interest of mine, is this the jinn making a choice about what they're interested in? And so many times it was. And then I would clear them and all of a sudden not interested in that person, which was actually kind of a bummer in a certain way because you lose the high, the chemical high of like the crush. But then you save yourself a year of like torture with someone who's really just going to torture you. Isn't that interesting?
Oh, yeah. I completely relate to the jinn. That's what I sort of, that's how I've sort of framed that experience I described when that thing left my head and flew out my window when I was obsessed with that one woman.
Right.
And from that moment on, I was still into her, but in a very different way. My energy around it was very different.
That's so interesting. It reminds me of another story. William, one time who we had on the podcast, when I was doing a lot of healing work with him, he was like my healer for a couple years there. One time, he moves his arms a lot like this when he's like pulling energies out of people.
Uh-huh.
My system works differently, but like he's literally like going like this, like picking up something out of your system and throwing it. And he always had his window in his office open. And I was like, hey, can we close the window? And he was like, actually, I throw stuff out that window when I'm pulling it out of you. So if you don't mind, I want to leave it open. And I was like, okay. And I had not, that's just not in my framework of like, it just, my system doesn't operate that way. So I was like, a little skeptical and not wanting to be. Lo and behold, in that session, because that's how my life works, I was standing for a portion of this particular healing and spinning, which is oftentimes when you spin, there's perpetrator energy that's being cleared. And we got in this particular case, it was a couple lifetimes where I was like a super toxic perpetrator of like violent crimes against others. Not good. So I'm spinning and spinning and he's pulling stuff and I'm hearing, he'd pull something and my body would spin and I'd go to the corner of the room and I'd hear kata. And then he'd spin, you know, pull and I'd spin and kata. And I was like, after a while, I was like, what is that? And because I could hear it at the window, but my eyes were closed because I was in a process. And I figured it was like the shutters of the window, like just the wind or whatever. Well, when I finally opened my eyes, every time he would throw his hand to the window, nothing was happening to the window, but a sound would happen when this energy would like hit the window and leave. Ka-ta! Like that. It was wild. Wow. And it never happened before. And it never happened again in my sessions. And he was like, oh yeah, that happens all the time. He was not nonplussed.
Unfazed.
Is that what nonplussed means?
I believe so. I don't know what plussed means, but nonplussed means unfazed.
I feel like nonplussed is one of those words that I think I'm using it correctly, but it actually means the opposite of what I think it is.
100%. I love those.
Like, you know?
Is that right?
Like a something, not asymmetrical. Oh, I can't think of it. Anyway, there's one that people use all the time that means the opposite of what they're saying. Anyway, he was like, yeah, that happens every day that I'm in here. And I had never seen it before. Fascinating.
Wow.
Come up here.
I love it.
Come on. Okay,
what is the relationship in your understanding?
Yeah.
Between, like, you've got entities and energies, which are more like jinns and, like, non-human, other dimensional beings, right?
Beings, yeah.
But then you have this sort of more standard trope concept of
ghosts.
The ghosts.
Yeah.
And they are corporeal or they're non-corporeal versions of something that was human and on this earth at one time.
Correct.
And, like, what do we know? What do we think, or what do we know, or what do we understand?
Yeah, totes. Well, I'll say what I know, and then we can get in the records about it and hear if there's more to say. But so, beings without bodies, entities. Okay, this all, by the way, I want to say. So Desmond sent us a definition real quick. Surprised and confused so much that they are unsure how to react.
That's nonplussed.
Not disconcerted, unperturbed. Unperturbed, like nonplussed, unaffected. Unsure about what to say, think, or do, perplexed. She was nonplussed, but quickly collected herself. See, it means...
Oh, it does mean the opposite.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. I'm baffled.
Right. Explained that the plumbing had been acting up for days and told them to pay it no mind. She was nonplussed, but quickly collected herself. So she's not I don't get it. Not disconcerted?
Why would they say not disconcerted?
Unperturbed. And then
not unperturbed?
In recent North American English, nonplussed has acquired the alternative meaning of unimpressed. Okay, see, it's one of those that, like, I don't think anybody knows how to use it.
So nonplussed is almost like made speechless, or I don't know how to react to that. Yeah. I don't know.
Perplexed.
I like
unsure
the first one.
Unsure what to say or think or do. Perplexed. She was nonplussed. It literally means not literally. I don't know what's happening. I give up. I think I've looked into this before and had the same conclusion of, like, well, can't figure that one out. Moving on.
It's a mess.
It's a mystery. It's
the I had it wrong too. I had the current version, not the surprised and confused so much that they are unsure how to react.
Right.
That's the simplest version of it, I think.
Yeah. Because I think people now use it to mean, like, meh. But it doesn't mean that originally.
It means kind of the opposite. Bah.
Yeah.
Ah. It's bah instead of meh.
Exactly. Bah. Bah. Which brings us back to ghosts. So depending on the person talking, the word entities can mean a lot of different things. I tend to think of entities as any being without a body. So to me, ghosts, demons, friendly entities that are not ghosts, all of them fall under the category of entities to me, just because it's convenient to put them, to call it something. But I mean, different people will say different definitions. So to me, a ghost of a person or an animal is a something that was alive in 3D form that died to their 3D form, but the soul can't leave or has chosen not to leave or refuses to leave. Oftentimes what I've been taught is they don't leave because of something emotionally incomplete and they need help to leave, which is where someone like myself, you know, can be hired. And I have been many times to go into someone's home and clear a ghost out of the room or the closet or whatever. And the thing about ghosts, another thing I learned about ghosts is they often don't know that they're ghosts. So if you tell them, hey, so you died, I'm really sorry to break it to you. You're haunting this house. These people live here and can't sleep. They go, what the fuck? And they kind of just take off. And some people say they take off, depending on their state of mind or being, they might take off to go haunt another house, or they might take off to transcend to the next level to go to where they were meant to go in the first place. It depends on the being, on the person. The idea with a ghost is that they are, because something so difficult happened or that they just haven't processed emotionally, they can't move on. They won't move on. They won't let go. So the soul is stuck here, even if the body is dead. So that's ghosts. Now, entities and demons are a whole different deal because they weren't people or animals that were alive in 3D form that then their bodies died. They come from, you could say, or live in, I kind of prefer that, other dimensions of consciousness, and then they fuck around with us in our dimensional consciousnesses. And you could even go so far if you wanted to say that like angels and beings of light and the Akashic Records beings of light are entities in the sense that they are individuated beings. You know, angels, each angel is an angel unto itself. Archangels, it's ascended masters, star beings. You could call them all entities if you want, in that they're individuated selves that are not like just merged into the oneness of God. I mean, in their form. The other thing to talk about here is like the idea of the oversoul or the monad, which is the idea that like, so any, let's use me, for example, I'm an entity because I'm individuated from God in a human form. And the idea would be that my oversoul is like the big entirety of my soul that contains all the aspects of my soul that are doing different things on different realities and dimensions. So from what I've seen, my higher self is sitting, or an aspect of my higher self is sitting on a light council in a dimension of star beings. And I go there regularly and talk with my higher self and go, what's in my best interest here? And what do I do now? And, you know, I get guidance from her.
Is she, like, when you open your Akashic records, is she one of the librarians, in a sense?
She's not a librarian, but once I'm in the hall of records, I can say, hey, could I talk with my higher self? Can I, like, could you line me up with Ken Theodra? That's her name.
Theodra. I was going to ask if she had a name. I'm so glad you told me.
It's wacky. Ken Theodra.
Oh, Ken Theodra.
Yeah.
Hey, can Theodra come out to play is what I thought you were saying. Ken Theodra is the whole name.
Yeah, it's pretty wacky. But anyway, I'll say, can you line me up with her? And oftentimes lately, they're like, you already are lined up with her. Where it used to be like, sure, we'll connect you. And I'm always like,
please hold.
Oh, she's already. Yeah. Please hold. Please enter 10 cents to continue that. So point being that I have a part of my oversoul, my soul, the bigness of my soul that's here in this human form. And I have another part that's my higher self sitting on this light council. And then there's probably other parts to my oversoul doing all kinds of other shit, other places. So I only mention that to say you could have a ghost that's in your house of a lady who part of her soul is like doing all kinds of other shit, other places. But that the part that came to individuate and be a human in this life, and that's probably working through the karma, the wheel of karma, that lady's ghost, that aspect of the soul is hanging out.
Yeah.
And could use a little
help, nudge. Little nudge.
Yeah.
And apparently she's been there for a long time, according to legend.
Well, it's interesting too. I always think of these cases where people are not upset about it. Like there's the cases where people call someone like me and go, can you clear these people out of our houses? Cause we're freaked out and we're terrified, or where they're being fucked with, pans flying around the kitchen, doors opening, whatever. And then there's the cases like this where the hotel is like making money. Cause people are like, we want to go see
want to stay in your weird hotel.
Yeah, and I always have a little bit of like, well, these days anyway, I used to be different attitude about it, but now I feel like, well, it's so easy to get them to move on once you know how, and once they can see that you see them, that I would feel guilty even going to that hotel because I would ruin their whole thing, like real easily. And I don't want to ruin their thing. Oh, it's their thing. Yeah. Unless they wanted it ruined. But I actually worry about, like, I don't know, if I were just sleeping in a bed there and I just went like, oh, hey, can you got to go. You're dead. Can you go?
And that'd be the end of the whole thing.
Yes.
Well, except that the story that exists around it would continue perfectly, and people would make, because I feel like, you know, it's probably based in some things that did happen.
Yeah.
And that probably 50% of what people are saying it happened didn't actually happen because we create,
right?
We create an energy around. It's like why people won't, like, I won't say the name of the Scottish play in a theater. Not because I believe in the curse, but I'm very aware that if I invoke the curse,
yeah,
that the energy in the room now is something's going to break. Someone's going to trip. Not necessarily because the ghost of Mackers is going to show up, but because everyone's now in this altered state of like, the bad thing.
Right.
So, you know.
Got it.
Mm-hmm. It brings the energy in. So I think that, you know, that's the sort of problem, we, you know, I don't think we can be black and white by saying like, oh, it's all power of suggestion. No, but power of suggestion is huge.
Totally.
And also, whatever her name is, was probably there. But right. also, but that's why something so small and specific is so interesting to me. That like, there's no way that flat vibrator flew off the table.
Yeah, yeah.
Unless something happened. And I don't know what that thing is, but it feels like it could have been Eleanor.
I love it. I love it. I also wonder if she's alone in that hotel. Like, is she with a bunch of people? Are they all dead together there? What's the deal?
Oh, no. There's a kid, there's a minor, and there's Eleanor are the three that I was reading about.
Gotcha. I'm like, we shouldn't even ask about it because I'm just going to accidentally clear them.
Actually clear it out.
Sorry, Murphy's Hotel.
Yeah, we could probably find out, like, are you cool? Do you like it there? She's like, yeah, I'm fine.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, so, that fun. Happened. That's really cool. I love that you're so open to it now, or you just seem very open to it.
Yeah, I still have my two brains, and they,
yeah,
I'm very comfortable with them existing side by side.
You can make it.
Yeah. Sorry.
It's a sitcom.
My two brains.
It worked in the 80s.
It did.
Okay.
Yeah, I got you.
So you're comfortable with your two brains. I hear
with
that.
With my two brains, the man with two brains.
That makes total
also
sense.
Also a Steve Martin movie.
Indeed.
When have his name was Dr. Yeah. Huffar.
Oh, God.
And he was
so
in love
funny.
With Anne Melmahe.
God damn it. I'm glad you
name.
Remember that.
Favorite two names in history.
Huffar.
Dr. Huffar. H-A-F-A-H-H-H-A-A-H-H-R. Yeah.
Yeah.
And you're Melmahe, U-U-M-E-L.
Have you seen the new Steve Martin show?
Only Murders in the Building.
Yeah.
I watched the first episode. I just haven't gone back to it, but I feel like I should. It's good.
I haven't seen it at all. And I'm very excited to watch it. We'll have to discuss it once we've seen it.
Saw the first episode of Station 13, 14.
Oh, 11.
And 11. And Rami is obsessed with this show.
Right.
In a way that makes me like, okay, I got to watch this show.
Totes.
Apparently, it makes us be seen. Like theater people, weirdo creatives. And also just, you know, but in a post-apocalyptic reality.
Oh, I can't wait. Yeah. I mean, it sounds great. Everything Rami said to me about it sounds a little depressing,
yeah,
and like timely in a way that's like,
when I first tried watching it, I watched the first episode and I stopped halfway through because there's like, I can't with people coughing in the theater and knowing that that's going to spread a disease that's going to decimate
the world.
Like this, I'm a little on the nose, but
yeah. Yeah. I know. Yeah. I think I'm not up for it right now only because of my current state of isolation and like a need to believe that we can like leave our houses ever. And yeah. Yeah. Did I tell you about the current plan for Katie getting boosted?
No, I know you tried and then you were like, nope, can't. Oh, and then they sent you away.
They sent me away.
And now you got it. Oh, and did you go to the allergist?
I went to the allergist, who is apparently the best allergist in like 600 miles. Everybody loves this guy. And I loved him as well, which was a miracle of time and space because he's a doctor.
Right.
And a lot of times my experience with doctors has been they don't listen and they don't care and they don't believe any words I say. And so it makes it hard for me to invest in what they say back to me. But because they don't listen. And I had a bunch of stuff happen with the foot thing where shitty doctors happened. Anyway, this guy, not shitty at all, wonderful doctor, heard my whole story, framed it back to me with no judgment, was like, wow, so then this happened and that. So tell me more about that. And have you ever had that before? What about this other wacky thing? And he'd throw ideas my way like, has this ever happened? Has this ever happened? And then I told him about my vagus nerve stuff. And he was like, tell me more about the vagus nerve. And he just like got it and wanted to hear more. And I just loved him. His plan is I'm going to go to his office, which we have the date set. It's happening February 10th, which seems very far away. Anyway, go to his office, hang there for 4 to 6 hours while he slowly gives me tiny, tiny doses, a little bit per hour. He said, because we're going to like ease it into your system. The system kind of takes it, you know, adjusts, and then we give a little more rest, adjust a little more. And he said, that's the best idea I have for you on this topic. And then this was interesting. He said to me, I want to say to you, just human to human, I want to say to you, like, just don't take it. Jesus, with those reactions, don't take right. it. You just risk it. And he said, but I can't sleep at night if I say that to you, because my childhood best friend, healthiest guy I know, is in the ICU right now with Omicron. Meanwhile, 4 clients I saw yesterday had the sniffles from Omicron. So I don't know what's going to happen to anyone ever with this thing. And so, and nobody does, no matter what they say. He's like, I read everything published and everything unpublished. I read everything. And he's like, what we do know is that the Pfizer vaccine, I guess, has the best numbers for low reactivity and high results. And he's like, everything else, we don't know.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, fucking, because I could really hear him, because he really heard me. He said, I want you to just not have to take this.
Yeah.
And he goes, but I got to tell you this, this and that. And then I'm like, well, now I want to listen to you, because that's, thank you.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's the idea of like acknowledging that, yeah, this sucks. I think someone said something recently that was very simple. It's just like, no, this is terrible, but it's the best we've got right now. It's like, we're not saying this is the fucking messiah. This is the worst.
Yeah.
This is the option we have to put this weird thing in your body.
Yeah.
That fucks you up. That sucks.
It does suck.
But also, I love that he was like, but I think you should
actually get it. And also you should do it, because you don't want to like get a bad case and die from it and have symptoms forever.
Yeah.
Then my dad said some weird shit that was like confusing, because he's a scientist, so you want to believe him. Uh-huh. But he's also, I was describing this to Kat the other day, I was saying, he technically reads everything, every science journal, everything. He's like in the know, right? But he's also kind of crazy. So he goes to both extremes in any situation. So he'll either say to you, yeah, you don't ever have to worry about that. That's not a real thing. Get over it. Or he'll say, you need to right now to the ER. That is a deadly thing. And usually he's minimizing the big things and maximizing the small things. And so trying to like hear the words he says with any kind of clarity is so confusing, because I'm like, okay, how much of this is the extremism, alcoholic tendency brain? And how much of this is just like smart scientist dad who knows stuff about things? Like, I have no idea. So I try to run things that he says by other people, just to see like, does this sound crazy? Anyway, the most recent one of those was, he told me, scientifically speaking, and I was like, oh boy,
oh God,
this is real and not just you have a feeling. Anyway, you should, if you're having big reactivity, which you have had your whole life to the medicines, the drugs, that means, I think he said, like, you have a hyperreactivity to the antigens, which means you'd probably, your nervous system or your, what's the other system? Immune system would attack, like, if you got it, it would probably attack it really, really well. And you'd barely notice it. You'd be one of the people who has no symptoms at all. Because you have a problem with the drugs. You don't have a problem with when you get a cold, how does it go? And in fact, you haven't been sick in like 10 years with a cold. And I was like, well, that's an interesting point of view.
Yeah, interesting.
I mean, I don't actually get the science of how that could be true. And I can't really believe it fully. Because like, fucking, what if it isn't?
Also, he has a track record of making extreme statements that aren't necessarily.
Totally. It's 111. I just saw it.
Yes, it is.
So I think we should get into the records about something, but I do have to urinate. Can you give me a minute?
Bink.
Yep. Bing.
Pause for a moment.
And we're back. Okay. All right. It is very cold. Oops. It's very cold in New York State right now, if you weren't aware. Winter is upon us. It is regularly one kind of digit, like 4, 9. And you're like,
one like, kind of digit.
It's,
and that's
regularly
on the Fahrenheit scale, so it's like
exactly
way below freezing.
It's effing cold, so it'll be like 4 degrees, 11 degrees, and the dog just looks at me like, you've got to be kidding me.
I'm not pooping in this.
No. So there's a lot of like quick in and out, pee, poop, go, you know.
Did you get that little square for the balcony? Didn't she? Oh, weren't you going to get like a grass square or something?
I did. She just thinks it's a carpet. She doesn't do anything on it. And then I have pee pads inside too, because people in my building were like, just get some pee pads. And I was like, but I don't want to train the dog to pee inside. And people just do that, I guess. But anyway, she looks at it like, okay, I'll lay down on that. She doesn't pee on it. She's just like too trained to like pee outside. Okay, I'm just making sure my telephone is off. While I'm doing this, a couple things to plug for people. Speaking of which, I have friends down the hall who are trying to help me find like dog paw booties for the winter. And Squeezle's paws are so small that every brand I buy, she just flicks them right off. They just flick off because she's got teeny tiny paws.
I've never seen a dog walk in booties that didn't walk super weird.
Hilariously. They hate them, and they should. They're totally weird. And you're totally right. Someone down the hall has them. But her dog is kind of dainty with them. She's gotten used to it, I think, because they started her young. Squeezle did not get started young, so she's really awkward. But I feel like if we get the right size, maybe it'll work. Should we get into the records of the hotel, Eleanor, someone else, Barack Obama? Like, what do we want? What are we feeling?
Oh, I thought you were asking intuitive sense.
No, I'm asking you.
What we should do. I'm kind of interested to hear about the hotel in general and maybe Eleanor in particular. Just talk to him a little bit and see what's up. If she wants to tell us how our sex was, that's cool.
Ooh, fun. The problem is that then I'm going to see it.
Right.
They're going to, if I'm seeing her, I'm going to see it.
It's pretty hot.
Oh, God.
Wait, did you plug the thing you were going to plug?
Oh,
you started
right.
to,
I forgot
and then you interrupted
to plug.
Yourself.
I forgot to plug things. One, January 29th, I'm doing a comedy healing event that is like spiritual teachings, funniness, and energy healing. And I don't know, we'll include a link with this somewhere. There'll be a link. Can we put a link in the show notes, Desmond? Is that okay?
I'm sure we can. He's not there right now. He's on a call.
I'm sure we can. He's not there. Okay. But yeah, it's coming up. It's a Saturday. It's 7 p.m. on the East Coast time. So that's 4 p.m. California. And it's basically like a place to come where if you want some energy healing and you want to do some laughing, this is where you would. And you want to learn some shit.
What is the name of the show?
It's called Everything All at Once.
Everything All at Once.
And there is an event page or two on the Book of Face. And if you go to katierubin.com, you can get a pick. I mean, you can get a ticket there. Many, many options.
Yeah. If you just go, if you like Google Everything All at Once, Katie Rubin, you'll find it eventually.
Did we get
At OMA Pittsburgh. It's the second listing.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Yeah. On Facebook, it's easy to find. Just look Everything All at Once up. And OMA Pittsburgh, like Cassidy said.
What's the date on that again?
January 29th, 7 p.m.
7 p.m.
Okay, so there's that. And then my next healing Sunday healing class is beginning February 6th. I need to plug that as well. I'm looking at a calendar. Yep, we're going to start February 6th. It's a seven-week class, a lot of deep healing work, super good stuff. And Star Beings class on Tuesday nights starts again February 8th-ish. So if you're interested in like... That's for like, I like to call that my mid-level to advanced class for people who've done some energy work, believe in some stuff. It's the one that Margaret, our super fan / favorite guest, is in. I just will say this for people to know. It's so intense, the energy healings that are coming through lately because of where I live and what's happening with the world right now. And holy shit, the battle of the light and the dark, that we have access to some really intense high frequency light. And every single week we're traveling in profound ways that shocks me even. And I need like 2 days to integrate it after. So it's a great place to come to get a bunch of trauma healing, to line yourself up with your spiritual alignment, to clear stuff out of your field, to learn cool shit about woo-woo things. It's a very cool class. I'm very honored to be facilitating it. It feels very humbling. So Sunday healing class, Tuesday Star Beings class, and those are each 7 weeks long. And then, the show is on the 29th.
Yeah.
At 7. Okay. You want to plug anything?
No, just it's something that came up when we were talking about the ghosts, and you were talking about ghosts that are stuck where they, you know, or sometimes they want to be there, sometimes they don't, and sometimes they don't know they're dead. There's a really great movie starring our friend Anna Ishida called I Am a Ghost, and it's from the ghost's point of view.
Oh, I love it.
And it's her horror. It's like the terror of being a ghost.
Wow. This is out now?
It's been out for, yeah, it was made like, I don't know, 7 years ago. H.P. Mendoza is the filmmaker. Anna Ishida, who you know, is a friend of ours. And she is, it's basically just her and another actor in voiceover.
And where can one find this film?
I'm not sure. I Am a Ghost by H.P. Mendoza. Just Google that shit.
Very cool.
GTS.
What's GTS?
Google that shit.
Oh. I live alone.
There's a website called Let Me Google That For You, and it's just a link to Google. But it's like, it's a way of like sending people passive aggressive, fuck you, why'd you ask me that question? You could have Googled it.
Oh, that's so funny.
So you send them the Let Me Google That For You link.
That's really funny and mean, and I like it. Okay. All right. Well, let's start with the records of the hotel itself, I think. And then we'll get in with Eleanor.
Eleanor.
Do we have her?
We don't have a last name.
Okay. What's the name of the hotel?
The Murphy's Hotel.
Okay. Simple enough. Okay. So we'll close our eyes. I'm so weirdly related to the microphone today. And we'll just take a couple deep breaths into the low belly. Yeah, and I'm just going to ask straight away, that we each be grounded, Cassidy and I, and anybody listening, as we breathe into the pelvic floor. We're going to feel our feet flat on the ground. We're going to see those foot chakras spinning open at the bottom center of each foot, spinning wide, spinning open like a tunnel of light, like a vortex, like a tornado, getting wider and wider till eventually it's so open at the bottom of each foot that we have allowed the electromagnetic field of the body to communicate more directly with the electromagnetic field of the earth. Then we'll watch as 500 energetic tree roots of light extend from the energy body of our bodies through the open window of the left foot and 500 more through the open window of the right foot, hundreds of miles into the earth. 1,000 tree roots of light extending into the ground from the light body, the tree of light that is you. And we'll watch our grounding cord anchor from the base of the spine to the center of the earth. And we'll feel and watch and allow a river of light to be given from the earth up through the grounding cord and to the root, flowing forward into each hip socket, down through the quads and glutes and hamstrings, knees, calves, shins, ankles, and feet, rushing down into those roots now. So that river of light from Sophia Gaia nourishes our root system as individuals, as well as the roots we anchored moments ago, activating and aligning, brightening and lightening our lower halves. Okay. And from here, we do acknowledge the forces of light, asking for guidance, direction, and courage to know the truth as it is revealed for our highest good and the highest good of everyone connected to us. Holy Spirit of God, protect me, please, from all forms of self-centeredness and direct my attention to the work at hand. Help me to know the Murphy's Hotel in California, in the light of the Akashic Records. Help me to see the Murphy's Hotel in Northern California through the eyes of the Lords of the Records, and enable me to share the wisdom and compassion that the masters, teachers, and loved ones of the Murphy's Hotel in Murphy's, California have for the Murphy's Hotel in Murphy's, California. I'll just go quiet for a moment. All right, and as we deepen into the Akashic Records of the Murphy's Hotel, I'm just asking that the record keepers of the Murphy's Hotel in Murphy's, California, anchor me into the Akashic records of this hotel. Yeah, so I can receive clear information and guidance about it and its history and its inhabitants and those who built it, etc., etc. And we'd like to connect also with Eleanor, the being, entity, ghost person that might be living in that building. All right, so, okay, so I can feel the essence of the hotel and Eleanor. Yep. So, Cass, do you want to just ask some questions?
Eleanor, I just want to make sure you are at that hotel still in your ghostly form. Is that true?
Okay, let me listen. This is not a very clear, immediate thing on that. Let me sit with it. Eleanor, the ghost, the person. We'll call you a ghost just for the sake of clarity because I don't know your last name. Is your ghost still there? Yes. Is a part of you still there? That doesn't read. Is the entirety of you still there? Okay. All right. Yes, so she's still there. She didn't like the... Well, let me just do this. Are you aware that you're a ghost? No.
Right.
Oh, boy. Let's not ask too many more questions on that line. What else would you like to ask,
Cass? I'll ask about the other night. Okay. Was it Friday night? Friday night. Do you remember people in the room 18?
Yes, very much. I know who you are. I was there. I was a part of the situation.
Did you knock the thing off? Did you knock the... Why'd you do that?
Well, I was trying to get your attention. It's important that people understand appropriate and inappropriate behavior between married and unmarried partners.
Were we being inappropriate?
Yes, I come from a time and a place where, there are behaviors that are appropriate between individuals and there are behaviors that are not. And, I'm sorry if I offended you, and I mean no disrespect, but certain things are not welcome in my space. From another time.
She definitely comes from another time.
Yeah.
So did you not enjoy us making love in front of you?
Correct.
I'm sorry. That's too bad.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that.
did you have the option to, look away or leave?
Yes. I kept myself distracted and busy, but there were certain portions of it where I'll admit, I stayed, I witnessed some of what my job is in this building, is to oversee the comings and goings and the occurrences and the actions so that I can report back to my overseers, to my higher-ups about what's happening in their establishment. So I stayed for portions of it. It made me uncomfortable. I didn't hate all of it. That's the truth.
It's kind of fun. Come on, it got to you a little bit.
What do you mean?
I don't know. You probably enjoyed it a little bit. A little enjoyment. Two people who love each other, enjoying each other.
It's not terrible. She's very interesting. She's very serious, but she's very committed to her work, committed to the priorities of the job. She still thinks she's doing that same job. Yeah. Of when she was actually there. What do you know about her job, Cass?
Housekeeper type. Maid, housekeeper, chambermaid, housekeeper, something like that.
Oh, okay. She feels to me like a kind of a leader type, like a strong personality. Like, I would have guessed she was more like Eleanor. Is your job, are you like the head house person? No, but she feels like she should be. Yeah, you know, I'm just biding my time until they understand my value and they see my value. This is part of why I have to watch what's happening to be on top of the comings and goings in the establishment so I can tell my bosses what they need to know. She's like, I should be in charge. I'm smarter than all these people. And is that... And I do get that that's why she's still hanging out, is she didn't get the respect she deserved or she felt she deserved at the time.
Got it.
Yeah. Huh. That's a determined soul. Okay. What else, Cass?
I don't know. I mean, that answered the particular curiosities I had around her and her interaction with us.
Hmm.
Yeah. Curious if you're also in the records of the hotel, like, are there any other people clamoring for attention?
Okay. So in the Murphy's Hotel, the record keepers, are there other beings without bodies, people who haven't left? What was it you said? A cat? Is that what you said?
No, I just made the cat reference as like why it felt like it the thing flew off the table, like a cat had swatted it.
Okay.
But that was the sort of, but right. I think that was Eleanor anyway. So
Are there any other dead animals, people, beings, entities that live as disembodied beings in this hotel? No. In fact, she wouldn't have it.
Interesting.
Yeah, she will not have that. Yeah. It's really interesting. So is that yours? Yeah. The whole right side of her neck and shoulder, top shoulder, and the back, the upper right side of her upper back, it's really tight. It's like she needs a massage and a chiropractic session.
That would mean someone touching her, and that would be inappropriate.
Ugh, she just works really hard, and it's back, literally back-breaking work. And she just takes it really seriously. Oof. Okay, so do we need to know anything else?
God, I thought I would have more questions, but I just feel like she was pretty straightforward. She's like, yeah, I was there. I watched it. Don't approve entirely, but gotta be honest, was a little bit into it, but totally, but it's not okay, but whatever.
Sort of like, you know how, now that you say that, the way it reads is like, you know, the part she doesn't let exist in herself liked watching and wanted to watch, but the part that, like her, what's that called in psychology? The super ego.
Right.
The superego was like, no, 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 none of this. And so she was like...
What is this
like,
weird thing on the bedside table? You don't... What?
Yeah, she knows what it is, but she's like, nah, none of that here. Yeah, that's... And, you know, the record keepers are like, you know, that's the lesson about what happens when you disown a part of yourself is it's going to find... or need or seek expression anyway. So you may as well own it. Like own all parts of the self and find ways for them to express. Otherwise you get stuck places. In your life. And on your soul's journey even, it can limit you. That's a good reminder for me. All right. Well, let's see. Eleanor, do you have anything else to say to us? No. The building, do you have any interesting intel or things to say? No. They actually just would like us to leave them alone.
Okay.
Okay.
Sorry.
So thank you to the masters, teachers, and loved ones of the Murphy's Hotel and Eleanor for their love and compassion. I want to thank the record keepers for their point of view and the Holy Spirit of life for all knowledge and healing. As they return the Murphy's Hotel and Eleanor to their complete wholeness, wherever they are now. as you return them, return their energy to themselves now. The Divine Portal and the Akashic Records of the Murphy's Hotel and Eleanor are now closed. Amen. The Divine Portal and the Akashic Records of the Murphy's Hotel and Eleanor are now closed. Amen. The Divine Portal and the Akashic Records of Murphy's Hotel and Eleanor are now closed. Amen, amen, amen. Okay, they would like us to open someone else's records. So who...
Okay.
Who else do we want to hear from, Cass?
Real quick. I don't know. Do you want to just... Well, you were wanting to do a historical person.
Well, just like who's a figure that we all know of and have some curiosity about? I think that's why Trump came to mind for me, was that he was such a big deal recently.
Yeah.
But like, who's someone else? Like maybe Fauci? or someone else? Or what's his... Biden? Or Kamala Harris? Or... I don't know, maybe somebody more innocuous,
you know,
like a celebrity.
Since you brought it up, though, I am kind of interested in just sort of a general look at what's going on in Trump right now, because he's both in and out of power.
Yeah. How is he in power?
Because he's still, if you are not loyal, even like he's still, you can't say bad things about him if you're a senator, for example. You know, if you're a Republican senator, or you will lose your influence. It's
so
weird.
So he somehow still has power.
Because he's the cult of personality around which the current base, basically, of the Republican Party is still swirling around. You know, until very recently, he was still... going to be reinstated as president. I put big air quotes, according to a lot of people. So he was never voted out.
Right, right. And but he's like seriously talking about running again, right?
That's still a thing.
And probably gathering money and making that happen. God damn it. Now I'm afraid to go in there.
Yeah, it's a little terrifying, isn't it?
I'm a little afraid. Like, here's an example. I, a while ago, had a reading and the person was saying... I talked about it on here a little bit. They were talking about my mom might be going through some physical illness stuff. And I was like, I was thinking to myself after, I could get in her records and my whole body went, no, 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 no. And then I asked my record keepers, could I get in her records? And they were like, do not. No.
No.
It's a dark place.
Yeah, that's the fear I have around all of it. It's just like, ew, God, no.
Yeah.
I don't want to go there. I just, you know, I'm more interested in like somebody... who's
like Mother Teresa.
Yes. Somebody that we actually want to hang out with.
Yeah. Well, who's somebody in the big public eye that we want to hang out with?
That's alive or dead? What is your thought on that? What are you maybe wanting to do?
Maybe dead, because then it's sort of like we have more permission.
Right.
Like if we just get up in Beyonce's records, I don't think that's...
Exactly. That was the thing. I was a little weird about it. Like I wasn't too... upset about the idea of invading Trump, but like then we got to someone that I didn't want to be invaded without permission. I was like, yeah, I don't want to, which speaks to my own, you know, issues around like, oh, consent is only important with people you like.
Sure. Yeah. But also it's, you're just respectful and don't want people to be probed against their will.
To be probed.
What did Desmond type here? Betty White.
You want to talk to Betty White?
That's a great idea. Let's do it real quick.
That's great. Let's just see if she's there.
Do we have permission to talk to Betty White? I do get a yes. It's something about when they're on the other side, they're just like, yeah, you can talk to dead people all you want. All right. So, okay. So
I love this idea so much.
This is good. I'm excited. Thank you, Des. All right, we acknowledge the forces of light, asking for guidance, direction, and courage to know the truth as it is revealed for our highest good and the highest good of everyone connected to us. Holy Spirit of God, protect me from all forms of self-centeredness. Direct my attention to the work at hand. Help me to know Betty White, our Lord and Savior, Betty White, in the light of the Akashic Records. Help me to see Betty White through the eyes of the Lords of the Records and enable me to share the wisdom and compassion that the masters, teachers, and loved ones of Betty White have for Betty White. So I'm asking that you deepen me into the records of Betty White. Is she happy to respond? Can we get information about her? Yes. And they're like reminding me that we're in the records of Betty White. If you want to channel Betty White, that's a different thing. So, but with Eleanor, she was just right there. And they're like, yeah, that's because she's a ghost. Betty White is not here. She's not ghosting. Okay. That's news for me. All right, so, Cass, do you want to ask Betty White's record keepers anything?
Do you know if she chose her exit?
What do you mean?
Like, she was headed for her 100th birthday, and instead she went out literally on New Year's Eve of the worst year of all of our lives. You know what I mean? Like, it felt dramatic. It felt like a dramatic exit. Like, you know what? This would be a good time to go.
Okay, so did her soul choose the date of her death? No. Did her personality choose it? No. Was it kind of written? Yeah. So everything about Betty White was meant to be an entertaining, hilarious, theatrical spark of life designed to point people toward the direction of or in the direction of the light. She was very much of the light. You know, when I feel into her being, though, she's very tired.
Oh, give me a second. I can't stop yawning.
Oh. She feels a little heavy and a little tired. And I think I get the feeling, this feeling that I have here is the feeling of when somebody's medicated and the medicine is doing what it's supposed to do, but also having some side effects. Like, I think she was on some necessary stuff. Nothing terrible or toxic or anything, but like she was sensitive and it made her tired.
So she was ready to go and she was fine with going.
Yeah, so no, she didn't choose it. It was chosen. It was written. It was gonna happen. What else would you like to know?
That was a big one for me. Do you have any questions, Katie or Des? Desmond has a question.
Okay, go ahead, Des. Oh my God.
I just want to know, let's just round up. She lived to be 100 years. What was her favorite decade? I know that's a lot to go through, but you can just get some yeses or nos on the 40s, the 50s, the 60s.
Okay. She liked 40 to 50.
Are you talking about her age then?
Well, I was actually curious about both.
Oh.
I didn't want to hit you with both questions at once, but I'm curious about decade and the year of our Lord. And decade of her life, if we can hit both of those.
Okay, so in her life, I get 20s to 30s and 40s to 50s. One second. Yeah, were her favorites. I think the family love stuff in the younger time and the career was really kicking and taking off, and it was very exciting to be a woman doing so well at that time. And then the 50s, 50 to, or what did I say, 40 to 50. Is that what it was? 40 to 50? 40 to 50, 50 to 60, 40 to 50. She felt like she, found herself and knew who she was and wasn't taking any shit and was just not afraid anymore. And she kind of like started to understand that in the industry she could choose. She had power. She could say, no, start at this time. I'm not going to just do what you say. She wasn't like a pain in the ass about it, but she just had boundaries now and she had earned them. So, okay. Now what about decades of the world? Like, so can you, this is weird, but Des, can you say them? What would have been the decades?
Well, I was going to start at the 50s, but since she really enjoyed her 20s to 30s, then I'll start with the 1940s.
Okay, let's do some math. When was she born?
1921.
God.
1922.
Okay.
So her favorite age decade was 1942 to 1952.
All right, this is what I get. The question isn't resonating so much for her. She's sort of like, I don't know. The decades were the decades. She was a little more like focused on her own experience. She's like, yeah, the 30s and 40s were interesting. The music, I like the lightheartedness of the music and the attitudes were starting to open up a little. There was more playfulness. People were really responding to trying to keep it light. They were trying to keep it light. The 50s got really repressive. But we had fun, she says, or we tried. She sort of has an irreverence about this. She's kind of like, I don't know, decades, I don't care. It was more about, was I working and having fun?
And say, from what little I know of the real Betty White, that seems to ring true because she just seemed to enjoy life. So it seems like when things change, she wasn't like, oh, I wish it was still the 60s. She's just like, what do the 80s have for me? Let's party.
Yeah, it's even less. She's like, it's even less of what do the 80s have for me? It's like moment by moment. Am I working? Am I happy? Am I healthy? Is my husband well? How are my friends? Am I having a good time? And she was very practical too. It's like, what's required of me now? What do I do now? How do we play this game now? She's very like good at adapting to the world and saying like, I'm playing the game. So what's needed now to stay in the game, in the conversation? And how can I do it and have fun doing it? She has a real adaptability combined with a practicality, combined with a levity. And she's like talking about how, you know, certain people around me, she would say, she never understood resentment. People got resentful about stuff. And she just sort of thought like, why? Just roll with, oh, okay, time to change. Fine. You don't have to change who you are. You just change whatever the behaviors are, the outfits you're wearing or whatever. But comedy is comedy, she said. And it was, if it's funny, it's funny. So I was lucky to be a comedian because funny is funny. And if you're just aware of the culture you're in, you know, if you stay in touch with the culture you're in and then you're in touch with the times and you can feel what's funny in the times. So, excuse me, that was what was relevant. Oh my God, so many burps today. Okay, what else?
Did you have a question, Katie?
Yeah, I wanted to ask, like, I grew up very, very deeply obsessed with the Golden Girls and that show and watching it. And I've rewatched it many times or a few times since then. So I wanted to know, like, was it fun on that set? Did you have a ton of fun on that set? And there's the energy of like, absolutely, we had a blast. It was a great time. We did a lot of laughing. And, you know, it was a set. So we were working and it was hard and it was a lot of hours. And sometimes people got cranky with each other. But overall, it was fulfilling work, satisfying work. And we were also grateful to be working at our age, which, you know, is a sad commentary on the state of the world. But we were just lucky and grateful. You know, oh God. the tall one. What's her name? Not Rue McClanahan, but Dorothy. What's that actor's name? Do you guys remember?
Estelle?
Estelle? No, that's the tiny one. I know. Why can't I think
was
of her name
either?
Was
B. Arthur the tall one?
B. Arthur. Yeah. Okay. So let me see here. B, you know, B was a very sensitive person, and she would go through, you know, she was a sensitive person. You know, I was a little more light and irreverent. And Rue was a little, you know, in her own world, and she had her coping strategies. But B just was like a raw nerve ending. And so we had to work with that. It wasn't terrible. It was just something we had to work with. You know, she was, if it was too hot or too cold, or she needed to lay down or whatever, we just, yeah. And we went through years together. So there were times that were more annoying and times that were just fine. And times where we were having a lot of social time together and times where we had less of that. But overall, such a gift, such a fun set, such good writing. And there was room to improvise, and we did. Not all the time, but sometimes. Well, that's cool. Ugh, I would have. I mean, that to me, that's like a dream acting job. Is the Golden Girls. To be a Golden Girl would have been a just comedy every week. Just hammering out the solid one-liners, one after the other after the other. Were you guys aware on that set of like how funny and how good of a show it was? She says 100%. That was the best part about the whole thing, is every time, every day we came to set, we knew we were on a hot, hot show, and it was clicking and it was working, and it was even more satisfying because nobody expected it to work. And so we had the double pleasure of killing it and defeating everybody's, you know, preconceived notions about why it wouldn't work. It's fun.
That's great. I love that.
Anything else?
No.
I'll just ask, how are you on the other side? Like, how's it going over there? All I get is the feeling of it. There's no words, there's no individuation. There's a feeling of really light, spread out expansion. Like a feeling of like, finally I got to just dissolve into a very bright, but like very soft light that's just like free. And so there's a lot of, it's like they're having me look at the snow outside and how the sun is hitting the snow. You know, there's that bright, white, beautiful liberation. And I'm aware that her soul is in a, it's in a, phase of its next steps. It hasn't taken a new form yet or individuated into a shape again yet. It's just merged with the light and kind of waiting, or not waiting, being. It's just being. Yeah, that's so interesting. There's no words, there's no thoughts. Every time we do this, I'm amazed by my own weird brain. Because every single time we get in the records, I'm just amazed and humbled by what I get to see and feel, and how, why I ever have resistance to doing this work is so weird. And I was talking about this in healing class the other day about the way the ego works and how, because we're working a fourth step right now in one of my healing classes, it's really hard work. Those students are working their asses off. It's very hard for anyone, addict or not, to work a fourth step. I think almost harder for non-addicts, because you're not at the bottom of the barrel and therefore willing to just do whatever it takes to survive. You know, you're just like living your life, and then some lady's like, probe the depths of your soul. It's hard. And we were talking about how the ego just does anything and everything to defend against its own death, and how the death of the ego is the evolution of the soul, and how I was owning to them how every single day I don't want to get in my records, I don't want to work with clients, I don't want to help anyone, I don't want to talk to God, I don't want to do any of this shit.
Yeah.
I'm so self-involved. It's unreal. And thank God I do it anyway. And thank God I've hit so many different kinds of bottoms and will continue to and do every day. Like, I have these little mini bottoms I hit all the time where it's like, get in the records already if you don't want to be such a miserable C-U-N-T. So the ego is an amazing thing to watch. Like, I'm sitting here like with Betty White's transcended being. That's so cool. Why did I resist that? You know, it's just, I don't. And the answer really is because it's such a, and then we'll wrap up. I know we're at time, but it's such a different experience. It's a little mini ego death every time I go into the records because I'm not in charge and it's about something bigger than me. And so the ego just goes, no, me, just me. So fucking weird. And then I'm always brought lately back to the idea that, like, they make, or like God or whatever you believe in, makes people be spiritual teachers who really need to be spiritual teachers.
Right. Like, that's been the lesson.
Yeah. Like, this is for me, even though I think it's not. Like, it's a gift, it's a blessing.
Right.
If that, you know, I'm teaching this so I remember it, basically. Okay, humility moment explored. All right, I want to thank the masters, teachers, and loved ones for their love and compassion. Lords of the records for the point of view and the Holy Spirit of light for all knowledge and healing. As they return Betty White to wherever the hell she is now. As you return her to her complete wholeness in her current state of being. As you return her energy to herself. The divine portal and the Akashic records of Betty White, that was so fun, are now closed. Amen. The divine portal and the Akashic records of Betty White are now closed. Amen. The divine portal and the Akashic records of Betty White are now closed. Amen, 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 squeezel dog. You did it. You held space for me to go to weird places once again. She's here. She's being very adorable.
A haunted hotel and Betty White.
Hey, just a normal Tuesday, everybody.
Here on the cast. Join our Patreon, y'all. We'd love to have you. We have now 4 patrons. Woo-hoo!
Oh my God, I'm so excited.
We'd love to have 37 by next week.
Let's do it.
And then 113 by the following week.
Okay, so get on it, everybody.
That would be great. Thanks.
All right, guys. Well, let's all keep doing our work. Particularly me.
Do your work.
Mwah.
What are you asking for? All of the answers? Say what? All of the answers? Yeah, all the answers.
Hey guys, thanks for listening. We'd love to hear from you. Please email us with your questions so that we have questions to answer in the Akashic Records. Our email address is allanswerspod@gmail.com. That's allanswerspod@gmail.com. And if you'd like to find us on Facebook or Twitter, it's @AllAnswersPod, @AllAnswersPod. Thank you.
That's what she said.
Mixed and edited by Desmond McNeese for We Mixed It, LLC. Go to whatsoundsawesome.com.